Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Speak that name, there's meaning behind it. It's not just a word that is said, God. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray right now, Father, that even in this moment, that the worship not cease, that it continue as we, Father, just dig into the word, your word, God. I ask you to be with Brent this morning, Father. Give him wisdom, clarity, Father. Speak through him this morning. And God, may our hearts and our minds and our ears be open to what you have to say this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, church family. Good morning to those of you joining us online. Glad that you are here this morning. I'm glad to get an opportunity to speak this morning and share from God's word. If you know me, one of the things that you will know about me very quickly is my love for sports. I absolutely love it. In fact, I had to represent my team in my yard yesterday. We cleaned up our yard a little bit. I had to put out my little Wichita State Shocker flag because I'm all in. This is a great time of year. It's fall. There's hockey. There's baseball. Eventually, there'll be basketball soon. And then there's another little sport that I think a lot of us kind of like. Can I get a little amen for any football fans in the house? I know the season, college football season doesn't technically, has already started, but I know in here in the state of Alabama it doesn't start until next Saturday. Am I correct? I figured. Hey, but one of the things that I love about football is the fact that at the end of the college season, you start seeing some of these prospects, some of these players, they start getting analyzed and evaluated based on just their height, their weight, their speed, all the statistics that they, you know, they measure and all that. But I love some of these, and obviously the position that gets scrutinized the most is the quarterback position. And a lot of people, they look at not just only their stats, they look at, you know, all of these different things, but they start looking at another thing called the intangibles. Those things that just are core values, like their attitude, their character, their leadership, and teamwork. And I think those are also plays into our Christian faith as well, and they're things that we can easily measure in our Christian faith. How many times we read the Bible? How many times we attend a Sunday school class? You know, have we shared the gospel with somebody? How many baptisms? We can see numbers in that. But I think that this morning we want to look at some of those, what are those intangibles that we have as a Christian faith have, which might be love, compassion, leadership. And today we're going to look at what are those intangibles that when you go through a testing or tempting time, like we've been talked to, like Pastor Chris has been talking about the last couple of weeks, how do we handle those when we have to go through those testing and trial times like James is talking, has been sharing with us? So if you have a copy of God's Word, would you open your copy of the Bible to James chapter 1? And we're going to start in verse 19. Now, for many of you, this is going to be a familiar passage. You've probably heard it in a lot of different ways. And when Pastor Chris gave me the passage, I looked at him and I'm like, thanks. I get to preach this one. But no, it's been very good for me. But James chapter 1, starting in verse 19 and going to verse 21. And I'm going to read out of the Christian Standard Bible because I think this is what we need to hear this morning. And I need to hear it in my own life. He says, "My dear brothers, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that is in the word. And Father, I pray that as you speak today, speak into my life. Father, I need to hear this. Father, use these words to pierce our hearts. Father, help us to understand, to hear with ears open. And Father, would you help us to live it out with hearts that are just desire to know you. We love you. We thank you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So you got to remember that James has just been talking about how do we respond when we're going through times of trial or testing. And so we've seen that, and I loved how Pastor Chris shared it last week. And if you didn't get a chance to, how do we go through those times of tempting in our life? If you missed that last week, I recommend you go back onto our website, check out that video because it was so helpful for me. So James is sharing right here in verse 19, but in verse 18, he also says, he talks about how God brought forth by the word of truth and how we should hold fast to the truth so that we can be examples of it. And so then he starts in verse 19, how do we live out this truth? And he starts out and he uses this kind of phrase a way to address it. He says, "My dear brothers and sisters." Now we have to stop here and have to understand that James is writing to people that he loves. He's affectionately calling them your brothers and sisters. These are people, fellow believers in Christ, people that he loves and he cares for them. He wants them to grow in their faith. And so this instruction comes deep from James's heart, and he's saying, "Man, I want this so badly for you, please." And he wants them to hear it. He wants their behavior to model being like Christ. But then he says another two words after that. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Now, you have to stop here also and say, okay, this is important. That's what James is trying to emphasize right here, is you need to stop whatever you're doing, take out a pen, a pencil, paper, whatever you need to take notes, because what I'm about to say is very important. He said he wants you to grasp it. He wants you to get this. He doesn't want you to forget about this. He says, pay attention. So this is what he then says in verse 19. He says, everyone be quick to listen. I want to stop there. First point today is simply this. Concentrate your attention. That's hard. Let me just be honest. I get distracted very easily. It's almost like squirrel, you know, kind of mentality. If we're focused on one thing, and the next thing I know, our attention is that. But James is saying, you need to concentrate your attention. You need to be quick to listen. Don't be worried about what everything or everyone else is doing all around you, or don't be thinking about what your response is, what that. I'm guilty of that. A lot of times we're having a conversation, and I may already be thinking about how am I going to respond, and James is saying, don't do that. Just listen. Be a careful listener. We need to listen to one another. Especially, man, what would happen if we would listen better? What would happen in our world if we would just take the time to just stop and listen? Man, I think we'd be in a lot better shape if we would just listen more. We hear a lot about how important it is to develop listening skills in our life, but I'll be honest, I find it difficult. You know, there's so many, it's hard to focus on a conversation because we have cell phones, we have the TV, we have our children in the background, we have all these different noises, and James is saying, just, you need to stop, you need to block all that out, you need to listen. He says, that command to be quick to listen calls for an eagerness to hear. Listening doesn't just mean waiting for your turn to speak. I read this week, it says the purpose of listening is to accurately receive the intended message of a speaker. If we don't listen, we don't understand, we don't hear what the other person is saying, we don't accurately receive it. The former TV interviewer Larry King, most of you may have remembered, he used to have a show, and he observed one time, he made this observation. He says, I never learned anything while I was talking. Man. But as essential as a skill as listening may be, it's definitely in our daily lives, it's so much more important in our spiritual lives. Do you realize that? Because that's how our faith comes. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul is saying right here, faith comes by hearing. How do you know what to believe in if you don't listen to what the word of God is saying? But secondly, we need to develop the ability to hear spiritually, because that's the way God speaks. You know, we have this all-powerful, almighty God who created everything, and we think, man, he's coming with loud noises and all that. Do you realize that's not how he speaks to us? You know, a couple weeks back I remember hearing, do you realize that how God speaks is through a whisper? Still small voice. That's how he communicated to Elijah. But he doesn't shout. God doesn't shout at us. He doesn't roar or anything. Do you know who does? 1 Peter 5:8 tells us who does roar. He says, be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. The devil is roaring. He's looking to intimidate you, to scare you, to try to get you off. But God whispers. And in the noise of life, we have to learn to listen to that still small voice. So he says, first, be quick to listen or concentrate your attention. Secondly, what James writes here, he says, control your tongue. Slow to speak. Be a cautious speaker. You know, the appeal to be slow to speak demands silence until we've understood and applied the message. It is a call for restraint so that we can provide healthier reactions. You know, I can make you think that I'm listening by the subtle things that I'm doing. But man, my tongue will expose quickly what I'm thinking and what I'm doing. Proverbs 10:19 in the New Living Translation says this: too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. And I was like, ooh, that hit me. Because I can be guilty of just not being slow to speak. You know, I saw it one way. How do you restrain your lips? Just simply take your fingers and pinch your lips. You can't speak if you have your lips pinched. But some of us need to do even more than that. Some of us need to restrain our thumbs. Because we're quick to text. We're quick to tweet. We're quick to put something on social media when we get mad or frustrated or upset. And man, especially nowadays, right now in this political season, man, some of us, we just like to get a rise out of people. And James is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Be a cautious speaker. Your thumbs will expose you, and transgression is not lacking. Proverbs 17:27, the one who has knowledge restrains his words, and one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. Just close our mouths. Look wise by closing that. Stop stirring the pot. Proverbs 21:23 says, the one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. And it begs the question, are you staying out of trouble? You know, when we talk too much and listen too little, we communicate to others that we think our ideas are more important than theirs. When we do that, we come from a selfish attitude that is most concerned with about me. When we don't listen, when we're not slow to speak, we're saying my ideas, my things are more important than yours. And that's not communicating what God desires. And here's the other thing. You can't hear God if you're doing all the talking. And I've been guilty of that. A Greek philosopher who lived about 2,500 years ago probably summed up James was talking about. He talks about the fact that you have one mouth and two ears. And that should give you an idea of how much talking you should do compared to how much listening you should do. Or how I used to say is, God gave you one mouth, two ears, you should listen twice as much as you speak. Do you realize that the average human speaks only about 150 to 200 words a minute, but a person's brain can listen to about 800 words a minute? And it seems that God's designed us in such a way that should encourage us to be slow to speak and slow to hear. You know, and with our words, I'll be honest, I call it a medical condition. It's called open mouth, insert foot. Anybody else got that? I do. And there are so many times in my life that I've said something, and I'm like, oh, what was I thinking? And you wish you could hit that undo button. Now, if you work on a computer, you probably know this. That if you have a PC, you hit Control Z, or if you have a Mac, you hit Command Z. Anybody know what that does? It's the undo function. So if you're typing along and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have typed that, you can hit one of those commands and it'll erase it and it'll undo that. Man, how many of us wish that was the case? We had that in our own lives, that we could hit a Control Z or Command Z and undo. It's just like a tube of toothpaste. You know, when it gets you're pushing all the pressure and tension and all that, and the toothpaste squirts out. That's just like our words. We can get our words out, but you can't, just like the tube of toothpaste, you can't put the toothpaste back in. You can try, but it's messy, and it's not very effective. But God has a solution, and he gives us in the book of Proverbs, and I'm trying to, in my own life, trying to read Proverbs because it has so much wisdom on how to be slow to speak. Because I already shared Proverbs 10:19, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see someone who speaks too soon? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You know, God wants us to restrain our lips. He wants us to be a cautious speaker, slow to speak. Or in a common day translation, it's just simply this: shut your mouth. That's what God's desiring. You know, sit on your thumbs. Do whatever it takes. But then he says also in there, he says, and slow to anger. Or thirdly, contain your anger. Be a controlled responder. Man, there's so much anger in our world today. So many people that just have these outbursts of temper. And I can have an outburst of temper when I don't get what I want or when things aren't going the way that. Really what James is saying right here is not so much your temper that he's talking about that anger. He's talking about the deep, bitter resentment, that bitterness that you may have towards some. I heard a pastor one time say, bitterness is the poison you drink while waiting for someone else to die. We all need to disconnect from the news. Man, there are people, if your blood pressure is high, turn off the news and just see how your blood pressure might be for a week. You know, especially right now, disconnect. Do whatever it takes not to be controlled with that anger, that bitterness, and that. I heard it also, a quote says, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel that it is stored in than anything in which it is poured. You hold that anger, that bitterness, it's going to eat you away. But God reminds us and how we should be with our anger. He says in Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in love. Ephesians 4:26 and 27 talks about be angry and sin not. Now, there are some things in our society that should make us angry, and not necessarily bitterness and resentment, but there are things that should go on, sin and other things that go on in our world that we need to get angry about. The challenge to be slow to become angry is we have that challenge. We've got to overcome it, because if we don't, we can't hear what God wants. We remain distracted. You know, we live in an angry-driven society. We hear all the time about road rage and substance abuse, violence, suicide attempts, alcohol abuse, all related to anger. And it seems so rational. You know, I can have a conversation, I can get in an argument and all that and think I'm justified and think that I'm doing all right. And then a lot of times I stop and I'm like, man, what was I thinking? Why did I even get into that? And anger interferes with your ability to think rationally. But what he says is your anger in verse 20, says your anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. You know, we have to remember that people are constantly watching us. If we're a follower of Jesus, people are constantly watching us. And if we display that anger in a sense that it doesn't represent God's righteousness, we have to realize that sometimes we're the only Jesus that some people can ever see. And if we're not displaying that in a right way, man, if we fly off the handle, how are we ever going to point people to Jesus? And I'm guilty of this. I can. There are times that I have my horrible moments, but I don't ever want to do something to not represent Jesus. You know, I wonder how many people have ever, in a moment of anger, done something that they wish they could have done differently. It happened about a little over not quite two weeks ago in a major sporting event. Watch this clip.
I and he pounces. Some good wheels up to the short ball. Out of her seat. And we didn't see it, Taylor, but I'm wondering whether... I'm 6-5 up, serving for the set here. I know this is a serious situation, but we need a decision, don't we?
I think the decision's already been made. I think that's why the discussion is going on so long.
But that's peculiar. It hasn't been announced by the chair umpire, isn't it? I think it has.
For those of you who don't follow tennis, that's Novak Djokovic, the number one player in the world in the biggest, one of the biggest tennis tournaments of the year in the U.S. Open. After messing up one point in the first set of a match, he takes a tennis ball and hits it blindly. He's frustrated. He's angry. And it strikes that woman in the throat. And I don't know if she ever had to go to the hospital, but they have a rule that if you do out of anger, he's disqualified. So here it is. It's not even the championship match. He can't take it back. One moment can affect how you can affect your life. We all tend to act in the moment, but we realize it only takes a moment to ruin our reputation, our testimony, especially to someone who may be lost, or even as a parent, it could be in front of our own children. I'll be honest, I have to admit, I've messed up more times than I can count in front of my own children. That anger can be like a volcano that's churning down below, and when the pressure arises, the ash and everything, it just spews everywhere and hurts so many people. Let me just give you basic, simple things that you should know when you do become angry that you can help yourself. The first thing is just stop and say, am I getting angry? Am I becoming angry? Secondly, is this worth me getting angry over? Third, take a breath. You know, I didn't say this in the first service, but I often ignore it, but I wear my Apple Watch, and there are times throughout my day where it tells me to just breathe. Man, don't we all just need a reminder? Take a breath. When life gets stressful and you feel that tension and that those anger and all that, just take a breath. And then lastly, take a break. Do something else. Get your mind off of it. We've been doing a few little things around our house just as we've gotten moved in. And one of the things I do a lot of times is I change door handles on like the pantry and the outside doors and all that. And I've been doing this, and I've done hundreds of them in my life. I've just, anywhere we've ever moved, I've changed door handles. I know how to do it. I don't even have to read the instructions. I've just done it so much. And so I was working on one the other day. It was our pantry door. And that thing would just not latch at all. Man, I just found myself getting more and more frustrated. I was mad and angry. I finally just said, you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to back away. And I didn't touch it the rest of the day. And I went back to it the next day. And I was able to, because I had taken a break. I just calmed myself down. And within 10 minutes... I had it fixed, and it now latches. You can test it if you come over to my house. It does work. But our anger wastes the energy that God's desires for us. It wastes. It produces divisions, and often it comes from selfish ambition. It's about more about me than anything else. That righteousness that God desires includes what James will later tell us in chapter 3, talks about how they're pure and peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You know, angry words and deeds, they can't produce purity and peace. You know, the mischievous work of angry Christians prevent the unsaved world from seeing that the God of all earth, of all the earth, does right. Man, why would lost people come if lost people saw believers getting angry and frustrated and all that? Why would they ever want us to come to our church? It's impossible to look at the conduct of fighting believers and worship the God they profess. If lost people see church members fighting and getting angry, why would they ever want to come to our church? And I'm grateful. Man, I have not seen this in this church. I am grateful for this. But I've been a part of churches that, man, they can't even, church staffs, they can't even be in the same room together. And I'm like, why would people want to come and be a part of our church? This should make Christians cautious in our display of any angry spirit. But lastly, what James talks about right here, the fourth thing, is that we need to cleanse our lives of sin. That's what he's talking about in verse 21. He says, therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James starts out this verse with this idea. There's a plan that everyone can follow, but there are problems that everyone can face. The problems are our hang-ups, or in easy terms, our sin. James wants to make it very clear that it's everyone who has this issue. And it's not just a every so often. It's prevalent. It's common. They're prevalent. James says to get rid of worldliness, to get rid of sin, and to focus on the implanted word that is able to save your souls. Getting rid of that idea of ridding yourself, as the CSB says, or maybe in your translation it says getting rid of. It's this idea of taking off a garment, taking off a jacket, or like if you ever were out in the mud and got all dirty and all that. It's saying get rid of that garment, that dirt. Man, once you take it off, you don't want to put it back on. You want to wash it. You want to clean it. The person should not want nothing to do with that dirt. It's clear that James doesn't mean that you can keep some of the wickedness. You can keep some of the sin as long as it doesn't, you know, as long as you get rid of all the extra stuff. But James is saying no. He's saying you have to get rid of it all. He said don't even let there be a trace of evil or wickedness. And then James describes a little bit of what this wickedness or this sin is. And he uses words like moral filth or filthiness, or he says the evil. You know, as I heard one pastor describe these words one time, it's like the wax and the weeds. That filthiness, if you were to really look at it, and the actual same word that you would use to describe, it's the same word that you would use, and I hope to not gross you out, earwax. And that word is the same. And so we all have that wax that builds up in our ears. And the only way that we can clearly hear is when we clean it out. We take a Q-tip and so you can hear better. We got to get rid of it. And that evil that's so prevalent is like the weeds. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to help my parents with a garden when I was a kid. I don't have one now because I have a black thumb. I'll be very honest. But I remember we grow a small garden, and one of the tasks was you had to go out and you had to weed it. You had to pull the weeds so that you could have green beans and tomatoes and watermelon and all these other things that you have in a garden. But if you didn't, the weeds would choke out the plant. And that's what he's saying, is this evil that it can choke out the word. And he says we need to be guarding the word that's been planted in you. That plant is the word of God. If the evil comes into your life, it's going to keep God from growing in you what he wants to grow in you. Don't keep God from growing in you what he wants to grow in you. If you leave that evil, that wickedness, that sin in your life, you're never going to be all that God wants you to be. And you can't receive God's word because you have an unprepared heart. So in your life, in our lives, what's the wax? What's the weeds? It might be an improper relationship. It might be an addiction. It might be a prejudice. It might be anger. It might be unforgiveness. These are the things that keep us from hearing and listening and receiving that implanted word of God. That implanted word must take root, and we need this in our lives. Just like blood that flows to your heart, we need this word of God. But James tells us to receive it humbly or with meekness in some of your translations. When you receive something with meekness or humbleness, you aren't arguing with it, you accept it. But more importantly, you value it. You place that value. Why do this? The incentive for obedience is that God's word is planted in us that can save you. If we don't have God's word in us, we can't be saved. James is saying it's able to save your souls. He's viewing this salvation as the entire process of the Christian life, culminating in our deliverance from sin and death, and eventually will take us to glory with him. So that sanctification to make us holy, set apart, and sacred. Obedience to God's word promotes holiness and develops godly character. We demonstrate a genuine likeness towards Christ as we get rid of those desires. Man, we want people to be able to see Jesus in us. They need to see a change. Man, if we hold on to that filth and the sin, man, nobody can see a change in us. And once that word has been put in us, we're not just to listen to it, but we're to act on it. You know, James in this short passage gives us these intangibles that we have to have inside of us so that we can hear and we can receive the word of God when we face those trials and pressures and tests of life. And so my question simply is this: have you received this word into your life? If not, what's the wax? What could be the weeds that's keeping you from hearing God today? And whatever it may be, get rid of it. Don't leave a trace. Get rid of it. Do you have those intangibles inside of you to listen and receive the truth? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you can challenge us and put the pressure on us, Father, that we can hear clearly more of who you are. And God, you desire for us to be a reflection of you. And Father, I pray that inside of us, Father, if there's any evil, any filth, Father, would you help us to get rid of it? Father, we need to be washed clean. Because God, we want to reflect you. But God, and we need to reflect you in how we listen, how we speak, how we get angry. Father, because we know that if we don't listen, if we don't get rid of all the distractions in our life, Father, we can never hear you. Father, this morning, there may be one in here that, Father, they realize that they haven't ever heard you. Father, maybe things in their life, that the sin that's just tangling. Father, maybe they need to just confess their sins to you and they need to begin a relationship with you. And Father, I pray, God, if there's one in here that needs to begin a relationship, Father, that you would not let them leave this place without doing that. Father, for some of us, we may not be an accurate reflection of who you are. And Father, because there may be something in our lives that we need to get rid of. Father, maybe something that we're holding on to. Maybe we just need to surrender and just give it over to you. We need to ask for forgiveness. Father, whatever we need to do over these next few moments, would you just allow us to just see more of who you are? But Father, I recognize that there may be one in here who's never begun a relationship with you. And Father, if there is one, I pray, God, that they would just offer a prayer of forgiveness, asking for forgiveness, turning to you. Father, maybe they need to pray a prayer something like this: Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. Father, I've tried to do things my own way and it's not been working. And Father, today I need to turn to you. I need to have you plant the Word of God inside of me. Father, I desire and I want to live and I want to follow you. I've tried to do it my own way and I can't. But today I want to follow you. Still with heads bowed, eyes closed. And there may be someone in this room that maybe you just prayed a prayer, something like that. Please don't leave today without talking to one of our pastors, or if you're on joining us online, if you just prayed a prayer like that, would you leave us a comment? We'd love to just connect with you, pray with you, help you along this journey. You're not here to do it alone. But God, help us to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because we want our lives to be pleasing to you. We want to display that to those around us. Father, we thank you for this time, and we want to give you all the glory. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.